Hi, I'm Sean Nicholson with Equitable Investment Management. We are part of the investment arm of Equitable Financial. We manage the money individuals invest with Equitable through variable insurance products, the 1290 mutual funds, and model portfolios. We often hire from among Wall Street's most prominent firms to bring institutional caliber money management services to individual investors. In this edition of our podcast series, our Chief Investment Officer, Ken Kozlowski, talks to a portfolio manager at Barrow Hanley Global Investors. Brian Quinn specializes in what we call income-producing equities, another way of describing stocks of companies that pay attractive or consistent dividends. Brian and his team of analysts and portfolio managers have made a career of studying inexpensive companies that fall into this category. This discussion may help you understand how dividends can be important for individual investors. Listen in as Ken starts the conversation with a question about finding companies with attractive dividend yield, a technical way of describing companies that pay a relatively high proportion of their share price in dividends each year.
Hello and welcome back. After many years of growth stocks outperforming, value and income-producing stocks have made a comeback over the last year. With that and the recent market volatility, I thought it would be a good time to explore income-producing stocks. So joining me today is Brian Quinn from Barrow Hanley Global Investors. He has over 21 years in the industry, and he has been a portfolio manager with Barrow Hanley since 2005. He has a BS from Fordham and an MBA from Texas Christian University and is a CFA. Brian, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Ken. Glad to be here.
So you look for value companies with high relative dividend yields and a long history of paying cash dividends. You probably look at the multiples, various ways of comparing stock prices based on earnings or book value or the cost of doing business. Can you tell me how your specific process helps you find these companies?
Yeah, great. So our process really focuses on buying good companies. And we define good companies as companies that grow their earnings faster than the market, have higher return on equities than the overall market, and have both a dividend yield and dividend growth profile that are higher than market as well. Yet we want to buy these companies when the valuations, and we look at multiple valuations from price to earnings, multiples, price to book, EV to EBITDA, and dividend yield. We want those valuations to be cheaper than the overall market. You know, typically there's some temporary reason, whether that's earnings headwind from inflation like we're seeing now, merger and acquisition risk, legal or regulatory uncertainty, but typically some temporary reason that causes an individual stock to become cheap. And with a holding period of 3 to 5 years, we're able to capture that inefficiency in the market and buy these high quality companies at discounted prices. We collect the dividend over this 3 to 5 year period that is higher yielding and growing faster. And we wait for that temporary issue to work itself out. So we generally participate in one, the growing earnings profile of the company, two, the multiple expansion of the company, and the growing dividend of the company. So we really look at it as a total return, not just a dividend yield strategy. The reason we like dividend paying stocks, really twofold. One, we think it protects the downside of your investment because you're getting the income today. And two, we love the compounding characteristics of dividends. Just an interesting stat, if you had $10,000 invested in the S&P in 1970 and the S&P didn't pay dividends, your return today would be $495,000 or 7.8% annual return. With the compounding dividend effect, that same $10,000 investment would be $2.1 million. So roughly 10.8%. So you can really see the value of dividends and how they compound shareholder value.
Thanks, Brian. And why do these kinds of stocks tend to do well during periods of high volatility or uncertainty?
Yeah, I really think there's a few reasons why these types of stocks do well. First, these stocks are already trading at a discount to the market. Expectations are pretty low, and bad news is already priced into the stock. So multiple compression should be pretty limited. Second, typically we are buying stocks where earnings are already depressed, like the example I gave before, margins were already being impacted by inflation. So we try to avoid situations where we see a large number of negative earnings revisions coming to us. If we're doing our job correctly, we try to buy the stocks when we're closer to the inflection point where we see positive earnings revisions. Third, more often than not, these companies that have a long history of paying dividends and have and they're more sacrosanct to the company, they have strong balance sheets because they want to protect themselves on downside. So really they have more financial flexibility in these periods of stress. And then fourth, when you just think about a CEO of a company that has paid a dividend for 20 to 25 years, he's not going to want to cut the dividend. And the investors enjoy that because they want this level of income today in periods of stress. And so it reduces that downside volatility in the stock.
So going into this year, you had big underweights in tech and communications, and I'm sure you were really glad about that. What kinds of sectors are sending value signals now?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, given our focus on valuation, we were underweight technology and communication. And that really hasn't changed much. We still are having a hard time finding value in those sectors. Valuations still look a little stretched to us, especially in a rising interest rate environment. Where we are finding some value is in the healthcare sector, especially the managed care stocks. We view managed care as a really attractive business. They typically grow earnings at the low double-digit pace, have high returns on invested capital, and they're really great inflation hedges. If you think about the healthcare industry as a whole, they've had a battle inflation a lot longer than the past 2 years. They've been dealing with that for the past 20 years. And so these managed care companies have been able to pass on inflation to their customers for a long period of time. There are a few stocks within this managed care space that have gotten the pricing wrong this past year, and they really sold off pretty dramatically. Some of them are trading as low as 11 times earnings. And as we know with managed care, they reprice annually. And so they're going to recoup some of this lost profit they have. And when you're getting them at a low price of 11 times earnings, and some peers are trading as high as 25 times earnings, we see a lot of opportunity there. We're also seeing some opportunities in the material sector.
And given your bottom-up style, you probably don't use a crystal ball much, but do you have any thoughts about interest rates and inflation? Have you learned any lessons over multiple market cycles about how these factors might impact the search for high-quality companies?
Yes. Yeah, so we think inflation is much higher than the headline CPI numbers that we read at 8%. There's so many anecdotal evidences that share that view. And Federal Reserve is significantly behind the curve and needs to play catch up to combat inflation. Our view is that there are really two groups of stocks that will have a bigger impact from this. One is growth and technology stocks, and two is cyclicals. When you think about the technology stocks, these typically have long equity durations, meaning that they're not generating cash flow till sometime way in the future. In a higher interest rate environment, when you're discounting those future cash flows at a higher discount rate, it's going to have a much larger impact on valuation. And then with the Fed trying to play catch up and navigate a soft landing, that just really increases the probability that they make a policy error and leads to recession. And we think this is bad for one discretionary stocks and other cyclical stocks as well. So in general, we think value stocks are a great place to be right now because one, most value stocks are generating cash flow today. So the discounting mechanism of future cash flows has a lower risk profile for value stocks. And two, most of these value stocks are paying a lot of dividends. If you think about the past 80 years of the total return of the market, and you break that down to components, dividends typically made up 32% of total return. Multiple expansion was around 11%, and earnings growth was around 57%. If you look at the past 12 years, the contribution of return from dividends and multiple expansion has completely flipped, where multiple expansion was roughly 32% and dividends was only 11%. In an environment with rising interest rates, which should lead to multiple contraction, dividends have to be a larger portion of your total return. And so when you think about investing in stocks and what stocks are going to outperform in the market going forward, it's going to be dividend paying stocks. And so that's where we want, that's where we're positioned. That's where we have the portfolio today, and these companies that are paying dividends and growing the dividends. When I think about lessons learned over the cycles, I guess the biggest lesson for me is that cycles could last a really long time, much longer than you can anticipate as an investor. If you think about this past growth cycle, it's outperformed value for really the past 12 years. That's a phenomenally long time. But what I've learned here is it's nearly impossible to time when the cycles do change. And so how we manage that is we stay very disciplined to our overall process of buying these value stocks that are trading at a discount to the market but have fundamental premiums to the market, and waiting 3 to 5 years to play out.
Brian, thanks for your thoughts today about finding value in this market. It was great having you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. It was good talking to you.
This discussion is provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. The views and opinions expressed are provided by the speakers as of the date of their contributions and do not necessarily represent the views of Equitable Investment Management Group LLC or its affiliates. Any such views and opinions are subject to change at any time based on market or other conditions and are not intended to be a forecast of future events, a guarantee of future results, or investment advice. Securities and sectors referenced should not be construed as a solicitation or recommendation or be used as the sole basis for any investment decision. The information presented is not intended to constitute an investment recommendation for or advice to any specific person.